Good day, ladies and gents. Welcome to the Fairway Fit Golf Podcast, where two friends get together to talk about how we are trying to look good, feel good, and play good. Let's go.
All right, welcome back, Fairway Fit fans, to episode 20. The big 2-0.
20? Good Lord.
We're almost the drinking age.
Almost.
Getting
close,
there,
but no cigar.
All right. Welcome back, Greg. How's it been? It's been about a week since we talked. We have had not so much golf and a lot of rain over here. What's going on with you?
Nothing much, man. I was thinking about trying to get out to the range one morning this week, but just rain after rain after rain kind of puts a damper on that.
Yeah, since we talked, I think I squeezed over to the range maybe once, hit balls, and then played a late 9 holes on Sunday, but nothing serious, and was kind of like, hey, I got like 2.5 hours, let's go try to knock something out real quick. But yeah, a lot of rain. I think we're getting some of the effects of the hurricane, and it looks like a lot more to come over the next couple of days. So I do have my sticks in the car. Maybe my Thursday round will happen. Don't know yet, but they are already in the truck ready for tomorrow.
I am playing twice this weekend, so I'm going north, so I'm going to try and beat it.
We'll see. Maybe something works out. I know the forecast don't look good around here, but we'll see. Good thing we're not playing in Florida.
Obviously, I've played in the rain before. I'll do it again.
Yeah, but I'm not sure. This rain probably couldn't have played in. I know the high schools were getting their tournaments in this week.
Dude,
kind of that misty, annoying rain.
Tell you the truth, our district tournament was god-awful downpour yesterday.
I think ours was on Monday, so they beat a little bit of
it. I checked some scores, and I give like props to a couple of the guys that I saw their scores for not walking off the course. There was two kids from one school that they were the only two kids registered for the event for that school, and one of them shot a 148 and the other one shot a 178, and then another kid from another school shot a 158, and the fact that they finished the round, just props to them. I would have walked off way before then.
I could probably guess, since I had some, you know, I had something to do with athletics back in the day, I could guess what school. That school also used to come with matching Budweiser bags.
Solid.
That's what they were. They were red bags that said Budweiser across it. And I remember their AD be like, yeah, we can't really promote that.
Yeah, can you get corporate sponsorship for that?
I don't know where they got it. Who knows what's going on? But yeah.
That might be why they shot a 148. You know, a 17-year-old out there with nothing but Budweisers. I mean, Bud Heavies.
I was a part of one as a coach many, many years ago at a tournament that rained. It was a district tournament. And there were kids literally hitting the balls in the water thinking that if they ran out of golf balls that they would have to forfeit and come off the course. And then their coach would show up with a box of 12 golf balls and say, no, you got to keep playing. Because, you know, kids don't have, like a lot of kids don't have rain gear.
Oh, no. I saw some videos and kids were out there in you know, a polo and some cargo shorts, bad choice on a rainy day.
Yeah, and then the one kid told me on Monday he had to break out the rain gear, and I was glad to hear he actually had rain gear to play. He said he had a couple too many double bogeys, but he was glad he got to play. He was only a freshman, so he's got some room to grow for next year. So last episode, if you were able to check us out, we were talked about what's in the bag, what's in Greg's bag, and today we're going to kind of reverse roles. Greg's going to figure out what's in my bag.
I'm going to take the lead. All right, let's go ahead and start this off. I'm going to probably try and go in a little bit different order so it just doesn't sound like verbatim. But, okay, so give us a quick rundown of...
I couldn't hit curveballs when I played, so don't throw too many.
Fair enough. I know a 98-mile-an-hour fastball is the hardest thing to do in sports, so I've heard. But give us a quick rundown of the bag setup.
Yeah, so I actually got my notes, took them earlier to, in a way I don't have to just go off of memory. But yeah, real quick, starting with my bag, you'll catch on. I am very brand heavy, not necessarily intentionally to this brand, but I think once I find something I like, I kind of stick to it. So I do have a Titleist five-way players stand bag. My bag is all black with just the Titleist writing on the side. I do jump into a little bit different. We look at my driver. I play a TaylorMade Stealth driver. It's the Stealth 1.
I was about to say, Stealth 1 or Stealth 2?
No, it's a Stealth 1. I got it probably right before Stealth 2 came out, so it's not too old to me. I have a Mitsubishi 60 gram X Tor X shaft. I'm set at 8 degrees standard. I don't have it. I used to have it on a draw, but it's back on standard. The slider piece is set to a draw, even though I play cut with my driver. So I don't always like telling people that because I think if it's set the draw, you're supposed to play draw.
It might be just a slight user error on that one, but if it works, it works.
It's been working. It's not the club I'm in love with in my bag. And then I kind of get back to my brand with my 3-wood and my hybrid. Those clubs have probably been with me for close to 15, 16 years. My 3-wood is a Titleist 906 F2 3-wood set at 15 degrees. I have switched out shafts on it, but I do play a Pro Force Gold, which is just a knockoff brand shaft. Just a stiff, it's a stiff flex. But it's an X tip. It's an older shaft.
Just the tip is X.
Yeah, it's tip strong. So that's where I am able to make up a little bit with my swing speed. I could not find how heavy it was, but moving to my hybrid.
Your 3-wood is the one that I've always wanted to steal off of you. Hence, you should probably buy a new one.
It is, and the reason you won't just take it from me because I have offered it was because the shaft is yellow and purple. And you have to have just a solid color. You're not allowed to have anything right. Fancy.
In a little spray paint couldn't take care of.
Yeah, I guess it could. I don't know. Or no, you should hydro dip it.
Ooh, yeah. Now we're talking.
Yeah, I don't know why I just thought of that, but who knows. Moving to my hybrid, I have a Titleist 910H hybrid. It's set at 19 degrees. It's an old Speeder 904 shaft, which is actually... if you look up on eBay now, it's vintage. I can actually sell the shaft alone for about $150. It's an X Flex, and that does sit at 100 grams. So that is, and I think it's set to 1 degree draw or one notch draw. Moving to my irons, I go right to a 4-5 iron in Titleist T200s. Everything is plus half inch out of my irons. For the rest of my irons, I play a Titleist T150s. That's my 6 through my gap wedge.
Are they all standard loft and lie, or did you have
They're all standard loft and lie. All standard loft and lie. They're all plus half inch. And then on those shafts, I have KBS X Tour stiff, and they sit actually at 130 degrees, or 130 grams as well. Not 130
degrees. You're hitting heck of a high loft shot there.
Yeah, so I used to play all X100s for a long time. I went to some S300s, but they were spined to be a little bit of a stronger S300. But I kind of got into these KBS shafts. Gosh, I'm a little over a year now, probably into them. And outside of my one incident at major number 3, was it?
Yes.
When I bent my gap wedge, I've actually have really enjoyed them. I don't really tell too much difference between the Dynamic Goat X100s and the KBS. I like them. Steel shafts. I always joke about going graphite because I know you can get graphite probably just as stiff, but I think the weight is where it helps me out still with my swing speed. Wedges, I have a SM9, same wedges that you do. They're the raw black oxidized Vokies. I have a 54 degree and a 58 degree. I did have those extended to plus half inch as well.
What are the bounces and lies on those?
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't have those. I know I have a 12 degree on one, and I think a 10 degree on the other.
I think the 12. I think the 12. You went with the F grind, and the 10. You went maybe with the K.
I kind of went off the wall. Like it was a different.
I
type
think it's
of
like
grind.
A K grind on your 10.
It was a little different. Yeah, that was the one thing I didn't write down. I messed up on that one, and it's already in the car, so I can't even go look at it. And then for putter, right now I have the Odyssey XDF. It's the black double wide putter with a pistol grip, a Super Stroke 2.0 pistol grip. that I've actually been using for about a year as well, too. I think I got it off Facebook back in January, so not quite a year, but I've been pretty steady.
It's been in the rotation of your putters.
No, I don't think so. It's been the front runner. It's been the putter all year. I actually have not switched putters at all year, and I like it. I like the double wide. It's a little bit heavier. I've talked about adding some lead tape to it, but I think I'm pretty set right now.
What other putters are in the rotation?
So I know you always joke that I have a ton of golf clubs. I really don't. I was looking through them.
I will stop you right there. I have seen you, and I will talk about it again. The infamous 3-wood snap that is still to this day the cleanest club snap I've ever seen in my life. And I couldn't laugh about it because I was just so impressed, and I knew you were pissed. But legitimately, you snapped a club, threw it in the bushes, and then left because the next words out of your mouth were, "I have plenty of it at my home."
So, yes and no. That was almost probably 5 years ago.
Yeah, about
now,
four or five.
6 years ago. I used to get all my longer clubs, like my hybrids and woods. Do you remember that black and it was black and gold type shaft? I can't remember the brand or anything on it, but it was a shaft that was very popular on tour when I got into it. I had a driver, a 3-wood, and a hybrid all in that shaft. I was eBay heavy for a couple years, and I bought all of those, but I don't have those anymore. That one, I don't even remember. I remember a little bit about it. I don't even remember what kind of 3-wood it was because I really wasn't. I think it was really in my back like one time, and that just happened to be that time. And then my other 3-wood, remember, I just switched shafts about a year ago as well, too. So, but I've got rid of all those clubs. I had the okay with the wife last year around birthday time to go get new irons. And I had to get rid of everything just to enable to put all those in my bag. So the only other putter I have is the Odyssey 2-ball putter. That is the only other one I have that's mine. I do have a putter of yours. And I've told you I've been working with this guy. He was going to restore it for me, but then when he came back of his quote, I was like, yeah, no, thank you. And now I'm trying to find a guy who can restore 2 putters at one time, because I do have a very old Scotty that my wife uses. So it's not really my putter anymore that she uses. And it is probably right now not even refinished, about a $600-$700 putter.
Court's rolling a Scotty and you're rolling an Odyssey?
Talk about
the wife wears the pants. Jesus.
It's like original 1.5 oil canned. It's a little worn down just because it's so old. So I want to get that one refinished.
Did Bagger Vance pull it out of the bag at one point?
I would like to get it redone, but and sell it, but I think she just wants to get it redone. So
get it redone for a birthday or Christmas, and that boom, there's your Christmas present.
But I am looking at, I'm actually looking at it right now across the way from the office. So, cause it's got that bright yellow head cover on it.
Yellow.
And I think the head cover alone is like $80-$90 by itself. Cause she thought she lost it one time.
Ooh.
And she started looking for it, to replace it. And then we called the club where she was, and it actually was there for a couple of days.
See,
so.
Good people there. I actually found one, in my parents' community. Of a like the Scotty Newport Select like limited edition, and it was a head cover just sitting in the road, and I picked it up when I was riding the golf cart around the kids one time, and I was like, you know what, I was like, I could probably sell this on eBay for about $75-$80, but I did the right thing, drove it back to the clubhouse, said if anybody's coming looking for it, now they might have just put it up on eBay right then and there, but at least my conscience was good on that one.
What's funny is that you'll churn in putters covers in your neighborhood, but then you won't churn in your shoe.
Yeah, exactly, right?
I went around the neighborhood that one time and your shoe fell off.
I mean, who really loses one shoe as a grown adult?
one shoe. Happy Gilmore's caddy is probably still looking for it because trying to read putts.
Let's get back on track. So you said the irons, your 4 or 5 were the 150s, and your 6 through gap wedge was the 200s.
So the 4 or 5 are the 4 or 5 are the T200s.
Okay.
A little bit wider sole, a little bit more forgiving with the longer irons, and then the 6 through gap wedge are the T150s.
Okay. Now did you hit both 200s and 150s and just liked it better, or how did you make that decision?
I did. I actually hit the 100s as well too. The T100s are a little bit more blade, very, very thin, smaller sweet spot. For example, guys on tour are probably doing one more step than me. They're playing their 4 or 5 at T200s. They're playing their 6 or 7 at T150s, and then they're playing their 8 or 9 wedge, probably their 8 or 9 at T100s, because the T100 is going to give you a little bit more workability, but less forgiving if you're off the sweet spot a little bit. T100s, I probably could have, maybe if I was going this year, playing the way I have played all year, that may have been something that I would have been a little bit more appealing to. But at that time, I was looking for something a little bit more forgiving and with the longer irons, definitely. And when I got fitted, same guy you got fitted over at Westfield, shout out to Larry, it just made more sense. The 150s just fit the eye. It's a little bit more of a player's iron. You can work things a little bit. It comes through the turf very nicely. The T200s are just, they're going to keep you straighter. Now, I've hit plenty balls out of bounds with them. I've hit plenty balls left. I've hit plenty balls right. I've chunked plenty of them. But when it comes off to it, it's going to give you a little bit more forgiving. I played those more of a straighter shot just because I do get a little bit more dispersion left and right because if it's a little bit harder to work and cut through to play cuts and draws. So I try to play them a little bit straighter. But the other ones I can kind of work a little bit when needed, maybe probably work it better in my head than I do when I actually physically make the swing. But so I like the combo set.
That seems to be the trend nowadays. I mean, I know that on Facebook Marketplace or anything like that, and you see people always selling combo sets. And between the Titleist, I've seen a lot of the 200 and 150s. I've seen 100 and 150s. I've seen going over to TaylorMade, you see the P770s and 790 combos.
Some people put the blades in or the muscle backs a little bit more into your like 7, 8, 9 wedge type thing. And then a lot of people play kind of like what you like to work are thinking of trying to do is you'll go get those more wedges like your bokies and go out there and take that all the way down to your pitching wedge. I've always been a four wedge person, pitchy wedge always being part of the set. And then I'd have 3 gap, sand, and lob wedge. And I did it for years. We're talking probably 20 years that I was playing those 3. And when I went and finally got these, he goes, well, why do you do that? I go, is that not just standard? He goes, no. He goes, let's go ahead and go gap wedge. He goes, what do you use your gap wedge for? Is it a full shot or is it around the green? And I go, honestly, probably more of a full shot than anything, maybe a bump and run here and there, but basically a full shot. He goes, then why not take something that's more forgiving? He goes, now, if you were working all different types of surfaces, meaning Bermuda, you know, bent grass, and you're traveling all around, he goes, yeah, I can see you getting more of a universal wedge because you may have to play the ball higher or lower. But if you could do all that with your sand wedge or your lob wedge, why not get something that's more forgiving? And that's kind of where I went with. And I honestly was a little bit hesitant to it. I always felt that I could just sell this on its own. If I really don't like it, I wouldn't change it at all. You know, if I got better and was playing more tournaments where, like I said, was traveling around, maybe that'd be the way to go. But I really like it. They're stronger. I used to play a 52 bent down to a 50, but this is actually a 48. So that's why my sand wedge is a 54 and my lob wedge is a 58, because I used to be the 52, 56, 60 guy. And then when I got the set, I bent them all down. And then when I got the set actually came in, I was like, I noticed, you know, clubs are, you're hitting newer clubs further. because newer clubs are a bit more upright. So your pitching wedge used to be a 46 to a 48. Well, now it's more of a 44 to 46 for most brands. So I think the 54, 58 is a lot more common nowadays than your 56, 60 gaps.
So staying on with your wedges, how do you mostly use your wedges? You said your gap wedge usually most of the time, a full shot and sometimes a bump and run on the green, but you know, how do you implement your wedges into your game?
Yeah, so I have been hitting the ball pretty far. I could say extremely far this year.
Big power guy.
I don't know about that, but you've seen, I mean, I definitely have physically changed just by looking at me. Like we talked before about my fitness, my weight loss, but I could tell the strength that I'm getting. I'm actually getting a little bit more. I think my last set of clubs, I tried to dial everything in, and I think I could be a little bit more aggressive with these ones. So I play my pitching wedge right now. It's pretty much, now the weather is about to change, get a little bit cooler, so maybe a little bit shorter, but I think my stock yardage is right between like 146 to 148. Depending on pins, I'll play it out to about 150, 155, just because if it's a back pin, I'm going to come in a little bit shorter. Obviously, if it's a front pin, I probably would go, you know, try to carry the pin, if not a little longer. But I usually hit my pitching wedge just a full shot. Not full shot, but I mean, like, full shot is in, I'm playing it probably 140 to 150, maybe one, but high 130s if I like it, try to cut something in into the wind or whatever. My gap wedge, I'll play it pretty much from about 120 to about 135, 138 pretty much is a long one. If I get lucky to hit something 140, if I want to go after it a lot, but pretty much I play it like stock 134, 135. At least that's in my head are those numbers. I've never done simulator where I've done that stock stuff, but that's kind of where I play it out to. And then pretty much anything not in the sand, I'm playing 54. I seem to be pretty versatile with it. I can throw it up in the air a little bit. I can keep it on the ground a little bit. One thing that I have noticed, and I talk to you about it all the time, when I walk, one thing that's really nice about walking while you're playing is that when you are hitting shots around the green, the bag is 5 yards away from me or 2 yards away from me.
True.
If it's in the cart, you only have what you took over there. And how many times have you gone over there and said, oh man, I probably should pitch this with an 8-iron or a 9-iron or a wedge. And you don't because it's 40 yards away from you on the cart path. Having it right next to me, I can't tell you that I've actually pitched it with an 8-9 or a wedge, but I definitely think about it a whole lot more.
The good old 8-iron putter stroke. You never.
Yeah. So it is something I always tell myself I want to do, but I have kind of worked really hard with my wedges this summer. So I 54, I will hit a full 54. I will hit a full 58, which I didn't hit a full 60 probably for 10 years. I would always play in the 56, but I will hit a full 58. I play that right out to about 100 yards. It really is probably about a 95-yard shot for full because you just get so much more spin on it. And then the 54, I'll play out to about 115. Get the pin take. That's the stock.
That's interesting because we're technically like 54 and 58 and gap, we're about the same yardage. Or actually, I'm sorry. Gap, I'm one club down from you. I'm probably a pitching wedge upwards of about 140. But then the dispersion as it gets up in clubs definitely changes. It's interesting that there's that big of a gap in between, like, you know, let's face it, like 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 pitching wedge, but then gap to 58 is actually relatively close.
So if I wrote down you yardages, my gaps would be about 14 yards apart.
Okay.
So if I've ever written them down, that's in my head, that's what it is. And I've never written them down, but it's like 100, 114, 114, 115. And then I'm like right at 128 to 130. And then it would be like 145. So it would go up a little bit. There is a little bit, probably maybe a 15 to 16 yard gap with that 48 degree, that gap wedge. But that's also a club I like to play back in my stance a little bit, hit more knockdowns to try to generate that spin. So But as it gets up further, it's right around that 13 to 15 yard range, that gap. But I'll take out, I mean, I'll take my four iron out to about 225, 230. I like to play that five iron right between 210, 215. I wish I didn't say such a big dispersion there. I wish I could say my stock is 217 or whatever it may be. I'd probably to say if I was a better player, I should know those numbers, but I'm still trying to figure that out. I kept some, not just catching flyers. Now, those are stock shots off a mat, perfect temperatures, probably in a simulator more than obviously hitting off the golf course.
You're looking at, though, like a sub 10 yard difference, though. It's not like you're Scotty Scheffler that can sit there and call his shot before he swings it.
No, but I know everything I read, though, is you want to be that
way.
Yeah,
of course you want to be that way.
Oh, it's about 115. You want to say, hey, I'm going to land this 114, and if I don't get spin on it, it's going to bounce, and then that's where you're going to be. So,
but, I mean, if you had 24 hours correct. A day to go in and dial in that, I'm sure you'd get there pretty darn 100%. Quickly.
At least try.
Exactly. Yeah. That's that.
But, yeah, so I try to – I feel like if I'm a five-yarder difference, I mean – that's a 15-foot putt, right? So if I'm averaging, you know, what's tour average from 125 feet? I think I sent you that video the other day. Like tour average between 100 to 125 yards is 20 feet. If I'm 30 feet from 125 yards or 40 feet, I'm pretty happy about it. I mean, I don't go at a lot of pins. I go at a lot of sections of greens, you know, middle, back, front, and try to work from there. So I still try to play a little right to left on some things because I play the ball back so much in my stance. But I've actually tried to hit more cut lately just because trying to move the ball makes it a little bit more fun. I don't necessarily look at visual straight shots. I don't really say, hey, I want to go straight, hit a straight ball. I want to kind of bring it in from one side or the other. Just
typical 40-something-year-old man. We're just trying to get cut up. You know, we're trying to cut it.
Yeah. Not the way I eat.
So, judging by what you just said with the bag, you are relatively heavily Titleist.
Oh, but the only one I didn't talk about was the ball. It's also
a Titleist. I know that one for just being around you for the last decade. But are you brand loyal to Titleist, or have you owned other clubs beforehand, or has Titleist been like your go-to since you've started like really seriously playing?
Yeah. So when I got out of college, first couple of years, I went through a lot of stuff with my life, with different people who are involved in my life. They're no longer involved in my life and everything. So that was when I first bought my first set of clubs, bought them at the golf show, the trade show that they had
nice. Over
here. And they were demos, so I got a really good deal.
Was the light shining down on him and just calling your name?
Definitely. They were like, oh my gosh, put these on hold. I walked around four more hours and then came back to him. But no, so I played ping back then, mixed around the drivers. I've had Cleveland drivers, I've had Cowboy drivers.
What pings did you have?
I had the Ping i3s.
Oh, okay. All right.
With the offset. And they were actually Ping i3 pluses. So they weren't considered their blade, but they were in between regular and blade because even their blade had blade.
Were they doing the dots on those yet?
So they were. We were just standard black.
Okay.
Blacked out.
Gotcha.
Everything was blacked out. I was not fitted. They were regular flex. And I was coming right out of pro ball. I mean, I was
yoked.
Still trying to hit the ball far. Still swung hard. I didn't know any better. But I know I tinkered from then on. I did not buy a new club until about, I don't know, 6 years later. I brought the hybrid brand new. I brought the two ball putter brand new. And then probably about, went about almost 12 to 13, 14 more years where I did not buy a new golf club. I bought a ton of golf clubs. But I never bought anything new. I always bought off eBay.
If you can remember off the top of your head without writing it down, tell me the sets that you bought.
100%. So I went from those. So when I got those pings, I was working at a golf course, Pleasant Valley, which we've talked about on here before. They had a club
first round major number four.
They have a club guy there, and he said, "Hey, you can't swing these." He goes, "I got X100s I could put in here, but it's going to take me a couple weeks because the guy's switching out something." And then he goes, "It's a switcheroo process," but he gave them to me for basically installation. He really liked me. We worked a lot together.
It's a solid
deal. While I was waiting for him, we had a guy that played in 4 or 5 major championships. More of them were on the senior tour. I think he only played in like 1 U.S. Open on the non-senior U.S. Open. And he let me borrow a set of Titleist ZB690 blades.
Ooh.
And this is the time where like blades, you know, only people that hit blades were Tiger Woods.
And like, it looked like a butter knife.
And it was. And so I've hit on the range all the time with them. Well, when I got my pings back.
You thought you looked so cool on the range, didn't you?
All this. But it was like you walked in the range and everybody would look at you. And no matter if I chunked it or duffed it or did whatever, because I did plenty of it, because the sweet spot was the size of a pea. I mean, it was not much bigger than, if it was a dime, I would have been surprised. Your hands hurt when you miss hit the ball. But, so I played with my pings for about a year later. I did not sell my pings, but I did find a set of Titleist ZB690 blades with all of my specs on eBay.
Solid.
So, and that is what I played with for probably about
Did you have the guy that gave them to you, just put them up on eBay, and then you just bought them from him?
No, he kept his. He had 4 hole-in-ones with that set. He said he was not giving them away.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, one of them was at St. Andrews, too. So he was like, yeah, this is like...
Yeah, I would keep that set, too.
Yeah, and he had plenty of clubs. So I played those for 4 to 5 years. That's the first set I went to St. Andrews with. So I traveled with blades. I was a player. I thought of myself as a player. That was probably when I played the most golf I've ever played in my life. I probably got down to like a 5 or 6, maybe 7 handicap. I didn't even keep handicap because it was just rare to get one back then. And I was playing consistently, but I finally stopped playing for a while, and I went to a guy at Westfield and said, "Hey, I'm looking for a new set of irons. Can you help me out with this?" So he took the blades. We hit them for probably 2.5 hours. And he goes, "You can play these. You're perfectly fine." I was like, "Yeah, but I don't play that much golf anymore." He goes, "No." We tinkered them. We bent them. We changed the lie, everything. And dude, I was just flushing them. And I was like, "This is just a good day. Trust me." So the only thing I walked out of there was with the hybrid. That's when I bought my new hybrid. I went to my first trip to Scotland later that year, and I played that for a couple more, probably about a year or two more, and then I went to some Callaway X20s, a little bit more cavity back. Still, Mickelson was playing them at the time. Again, bought them used.
Fat Phil or Fit Phil?
Fat Phil.
Oh, okay.
Fat Phil. Bought them used, played those, had them all. They were X100s. It was all my specs. And then I got rid of those and during COVID. So I played those for probably almost 6, 7, 8, 9 years. During COVID, I went to Mizuno. You probably heard me talk about Mizuno earlier in this episodes. I played Mizuno for probably about 2 to 3 years since COVID, or I guess about 4 years. And I just got rid of that not too long ago. Again, that was the pay for my other ones.
That's true.
So that's really about it. Drivers, you name it, I've played it. Never really bought anything new. It was all used. I basically played Titleist drivers. I just tried to upgrade as it went. But before the Stealth, I probably played the same driver for about 8 or 9 years. It was a 905. And I just got rid of it in 2022. So,
is there any drivers that catch your eye right now as far as like technology or anything like that? You got the Stealth 1. I know a lot of people hated the Stealth 2, but like, is there anything new on the market like the Titleist GT3 or anything like that that sparks your interest?
Yeah, I mean, I watch TV. I see all the ads. TaylorMade is more of a marketing company than they are probably an equipment company. they do such a good job with their equipment and marketing. They come up with something every year that is the next greatest thing. But yeah, no.
Hey, you add 2 yards and
straight
2 feet of more straight, it's going to sell for $500, $600 off the wall like nothing.
Yeah, so the driver I had before, the Titleist, it wasn't even an adjustable head. It was glued in there, didn't change.
Did you ever have a Big Bertha?
Long time.
Everybody ago. Had to have a Big Bertha.
That was like first time ever playing golf.
Yeah.
Had the Big Bertha.
That was the first, the Big Bertha Warbird 12 degree driver was the first driver I ever bought for Pops.
Do you remember the bubble burners?
Oh, yeah. I think Treon still plays with it.
He probably could. That would not surprise me at all. But yeah, so if I had a dream club right now, and you'll laugh at me, I would like to go hit 2 different clubs. I'd like to go hit the QI10, actually 3. The QI10, the Payne 430.
The 10K 430, right?
10K 430. All of it is about the MOI. Basically the forgiveness. And then I've heard nothing but good things about the Titleist GT that just came out maybe in the beginning of the summer. So those would be the 3 probably on my list, but I would not turn down a club. I mean, as long as it, like, I am more into the fit now than I was the look and everything. I mean, obviously the look is part of your fit, but I mean,
the name.
I don't need a brand. I need what I can keep in play.
Well, you should have told me this like 3 weeks ago. I probably could have talked to Courtney and talked her into, hey, you know, for his birthday, why don't you go ahead and get him a new driver?
Yeah. This was a Christmas present 2 years
ago. Christmas is coming around. I'll get in her ear now.
There's a lot of things I like about the Stealth. I actually like the carbon face because it does sound a little bit different, but you got to hit the center of it. And I'm not hitting the center enough. And then when TaylorMade came out, this QI10, and they had this great commercial where all these pros were like, oh my gosh, this and that. You see how it's not rolling in your hand on contact. And again, you got to hit the center of the club face no matter what club you're playing. So, I mean, I've hit your driver very well on the range. I've hit my driver really well at times. If you remember when I got it, that was our first Myrtle trip. Dude, I think I shot a 74 the first time I ever played it in a probably the first 2 or 3 rounds I've ever played it.
Yeah, you were hitting the ball well.
So I don't dislike it, but yes, if there was a club in my bag, there's 2 clubs in my bag I'd like to upgrade, and that would be my 3-wood, probably my driver.
All right, sounds good. What is we'll throw this back. I want 2-part question, all right? What is your go-to club in your bag right now? And if you could forever hit one club of all of those that you just named, which one would it be?
All right. So I'm going to break it up. So if I had to hit a club off the tee.
Okay. All right. All right.
I would hit my hybrid.
Yeah, that's simple. I've watched that for 10,000 rounds.
And I can hit my hybrid. I would say stock hybrid is between like 240 to 250. But when I get after it and I have the little hook draw, I can push that thing out there, especially any sort of hard surfaces. I can make it run quite a bit. I did go for a long time. I was really scared to hit it off the turf. I only would hit it off the tee. But I'm kind of over that now. I could cut it. I could draw it.
See, you're hang around with me a little bit. You get rid of the tee a little bit.
Well, no. I'm talking.
I know. I'm calling.
And then I, for a longest time, since we play a lot of yardages right between like 6,300, 6,200 to 6,500, I always felt like my gap wedge, and now that it's the Titleist gap wedge, it's part of the set, not the Vokey anymore. That's the club that I would love to hit every day of the week. I have over the last month or so really tried to move back and play more like 66 to 69. And I have found a lot. It's now my pitching wedge and 9-iron in my hand a lot more than my gap wedge. So, but if I had 1 iron that I could play, I would just like you, I'd take my 7-iron. I feel like I could play it down. I could play it high. I could go after it and push it out to 190, 200 yards.
I've seen that.
But I can also hit a 130-yard chip shot with it and feel like it's just a little bit more comfortable. So I guess that kind of answers the other question. If I only had to do one club with that, it would probably have to be my 7-iron.
Which I think that's for a majority of people because it's middle of the bag.
Middle of the bag.
It's not a long iron.
On it, yeah. Open it up.
Yeah, it's not a long iron. It's not a short iron. You usually hit it pretty well. You usually, you know, can control it pretty well. And I think most people kind of, I mean, I don't know. It's one of the clubs that I always bring when I warm up too. So, I mean, unless I'm having one of those days where I just hit driver for an entire bucket of balls, but.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
So have you made any modifications besides the, I know that you kind of bent some of your irons, I mean, some of your wedges, but have you made any modifications? I know you were talking about putting tape under putter, but have you made any modifications to the new set?
No. When I got them, they came in, I immediately hit with Larry, liked them. He said, hey, go play with them for a little bit. I did go back one extra time. I thought I was going to have to flatten them 1 degree. I know since they're half inch, and I actually choked down a touch on a lot of mine. Like, I think it's more of like a baseball thing. I never was a guy that would be at the end of the bat. I always like to choke up a little bit. And so I kind of do the same. So I hit a lot of like choking down to like half inch, which I know is funny because I do have half inch longer clubs. So I thought I'd have to get flattened out because my old set a long time ago when I was talking about those blades, they were flattened. But we put tape on them and everything. So the wedges, not that the irons or the wedges, we haven't really done anything. The only thing I'd probably tinker with the most is the driver. I changed those settings quite a bit. Since I put this 3-wood.
Never mid-round though, right?
No.
I do believe it is illegal to adjust your driver mid-round.
But I would never care if somebody did that.
Oh, I've done it plenty of times without you even noticing.
I think I helped you do it one time. I think we were in Myrtle when we were changing it. I think we had to change it back to what you had it on.
Yeah, I think I was an idiot and changed it right before we went down there, having not swung it in like 4 months, yeah. and changed it to, I'm hitting the ball straight now. Go ahead. We're not going to take it.
Well, you had quality mental reps.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So exactly. Reps. Dry swings.
But yeah, so I think I changed the driver probably the most. But I want to get to a point, if I could get my 3-wood adjusted. Again, this is not an adjustable 3-wood. This is, you know, it's glued in there, doesn't change, doesn't move. Being a regular stiff flex, I kind of could draw the 3-wood a little bit better than I could draw my driver.
Well, that's because the extra stiff tip.
Because it comes around. So I would love to get to where I could be confident and just look at my driver one way, play one ball flight where it's straight down the left side and I try to cut it back to a fairway. Then I would get my 3-wood and that's when I would try to play that opposite and then try to have the hybrid where you can try to do both as needed when you take a little bit off. So hadn't quite got there. That's probably, I say it's in the works, but.
Well, you only had this set for what, a year?
I've had the irons for about a year. I don't see myself changing the irons for quite some time. I think the drivers and all that stuff, I do think those are probably clubs people change a little bit more often.
Not even like a mid-golf trip grip change or anything like that?
So all my grips are also mid-size, just like yours. My driver is still the mid-size plus 4. And then I think I have my hybrid is still mid-size plus 4. Everything else is just mid-size. I just have not switched those. I was mid-size plus 4. I actually, when I ordered the Titleist, I wanted mid-size plus 4 on those, and they came back just standard mid-size. But I actually like that better. I like the little bit of the taper. I'm not quite Roy McIlroy, where he's mid-size with 3 tapes on the top, 2 tapes on the bottom, tight taper. But I kind of like the mid-size. I don't know if I would go any bigger than that. I know it's the big thing now is this the bigger grips, even
the
bigger
jumbo.
I don't know. Is it jumbo or is there something in between?
I think there's a jumbo because I think that's what
Bryson.
In the last like break, or not the last break 50, but the break 50 with John Daly and Bryson DeChambeau.
Yes.
Daly was saying that before you ever get fitted for like clubs, you should get fitted for your grip first. He said, I think the grip is the number one thing that you should be fitted for first, and then work into the clubs. And I you look at Bryson DeChambeau's clubs, and it almost looks like he has a super stroke on every single club. It's crazy. Like, I can't imagine, like, either how big his hands are, or like me, I play a midsize plus four, MCC plus four, but I have tiny hands. But I just really like the fact that I don't feel like I have to have a lot of grip pressure on it. Like a standard size club, I just naturally grip strong, and it at least releases the tension in my hands when I'm swinging.
Yeah, it seems to be, I don't want to call it a fad, but maybe it is, to go a little bit on the midsize part. But yeah, I like the regular midsize. If I had to re-grip mine, which I don't have to do anytime soon, I've probably got another year or so in the grips. They do wear out a lot faster than I feel like they did 10, 15 years ago, but maybe they're just better material and they wear out faster because they're lighter.
Let's face it, they're not going to build grips that last 4 years because they want you to come back and spend the $13 every single year if you're
golf
playing.
Exactly. Golf Pride would be out of business then.
It's like, oh, this grip lasts 7 years. Be like, oh, great. So every 7 years, I'm getting $14 for this guy. All right, let's move on a little bit. As far as, let's go what's in your bag. Like, what is a Brad essential item in your bag? Not clubs, not balls, not tees or anything like that, but what is an essential thing that you have to have in your bag before you go out and play?
Yeah, so I got a lot of stuff in my bag, and I got to clean it a lot. I end up collecting stuff that's in there, but essential parts of my bag, which is really funny because I don't even use them anymore. But I do, so I keep, I'm kind of, I don't want to say nerdy, but I keep all my stuff in Ziploc baggies just because I think it lasts a little bit longer. So I have, not in my tee holder, I have actually a Ziploc bag of tees. I don't even take tees out because my course
the tees don't poke holes in the Ziploc bag.
Yep.
No.
Don't,
what?
No. They don't. Well, if we don't touch the bag very often, it don't have the issue. So,
okay.
And then in another Ziploc bag, I have all my ball markers. But you've been playing me for a couple of years. Do I even use ball markers, or I just use a tee?
You just use a tee.
I just use a tee. So, but what's funny about my ball markers? They're all quarters, and they're all from the 1970s.
That isn't.
I have one of them. Lower to the 70s, I always think is better. I used to always play with those. I'd have those anytime I found them, I kept around. I don't even really look for them that much anymore because I have enough in there. I just don't pull it out. I don't know if it's just called lazy, but I use the T. I got you. As you're laughing. I just use the T most of the time. So I used to say ball markers were essential. That had to be a must. I had to be in the 70s, but other than that, I don't have too much that is like uncommon. I have your rain gloves. I have cold weather mittens in there.
Mittens,
I do. Mm-hmm. I have the cold weather mittens in there. I have my rain suit, pants, and top.
All the time. Really?
All the time. I have my alignment sticks with my custom cover, my Fairway Fit custom cover on those. Now, again, our alignment sticks, both of ours, are from Home Depot.
Yeah, they're the greatest thing in the world. They're the cheapest alignment sticks you can possibly
$2.99. That were perfect. I think for both of them, it was total of $2.99. So I have my towels. I carry two towels. No surprise, one of them is a Titleist towel. And then I have my Hokie towel, which was that, you know, that club glove or whatever, that like microfiber that helps clean the irons.
What is a Hokie?
What is a Hokie? Hokie can be a lot of things. Technically, it's a made-up word. When I was in school, it was a castrated turkey. It was an ass-kicking chicken. I think those were the two. Like,
aren't you supposed to reply with just, I'm a Hokie?
I guess I could have. I could have gone there. But I do have a Hokie bird. I have a Hokie bird head cover. I did put that in the bag about a year ago. I do like that. I do like head covers. something I kind of, I don't want to say I collect, but I'd always am looking for really unique.
I think that's a family trait.
Yeah. So I like, I do have a Stonely head cover. I do have custom fairway fit head covers, that I rotate around.
You have interesting, if I remember correctly, you had an interesting hybrid and three wood cover for just a brief point of time before you got the fairway fit ones.
I did. I had a hybrid cover that had a U on it and a fairway wood cover that had an F on it. And I always set it up facing you, or my fairway cover was on the left and my hybrid cover was on the right.
It was always just, you know, boisterous every single time.
Yeah. I would always tell people that drove behind us, don't mind the head covers. But yeah, so if there was one thing that I always have, and I guess this is kind of unique, I do also like scorecard holders and yardage books. That is something, if you've played with me long enough, I love to buy yardage books. And I do put my cover, it's custom. I have like three or four custom ones, some fairway fit ones. I have some from Scotland when I went there. I have some with just my family name on it. But I always have those in my back pocket when I play.
You look like a player. I mean, if you have that, you look like a player.
I try to. That's the whole point, is I want to at least try to be a player.
Look good, feel good, play good.
Yeah. FootJoy gloves, nothing special. The 2-pack for $20 is kind of what I usually always buy. I always talk about buying a new one, like the really nice ones, but then you can get two for the same price. It's like,
and if you pay the extra $3, they'll replace them every year. Tony, I just jumped on that. I finally got hooked by a guy that would like literally sold me on it. I've been hearing about it for years, and I was like, you know what? We're going to go ahead and do this time.
Yeah. Another fun head cover I have is my putter head cover. It's white and it has baseball seams on it.
Always got to bring the baseball back into it.
I try to.
Back to your roots.
I tried. Yeah. So, and then the only other thing that I do consistently, I mark all my golf balls with a red dot.
That's why we get along. I'm a blue dot, you're a red dot.
Yeah.
All right. So we kind of went over this with me. What advice would you give to somebody that is looking to, you know, build their own golf bag setup or, you know, build their own set? Would you tell them to go full one set, go buy the 14 clubs in a box, or would you have them, you know, go piece it together?
Yeah, I would definitely, budget aside of everything, I think getting fitted is extremely, extremely important. I think you could say the same thing. The guy we went to, he doesn't push a brand. He doesn't even push the top of the line of that brand sometimes. He'll push, you give him a budget, he will fit things in there. So, but you do need to go and get swing speed checked out, get some of the specs checked out on it. You know, I worked in the fitness world a long time ago as a personal trainer, and people would always say, oh, I want to lose weight before I get a trainer. And my big thing I would tell them is like, well, why wouldn't you want to bring on a trainer to make that process easier? So it's no different than a golf club. Why would you go buy something that doesn't fit you and say, hey, I'm going to get better, when I actually can get better with something that fits me a lot faster? And so I would say go get fitted. And we talked about it in our last episode. I think that whole process has come down so much in price.
Oh yeah.
Over the last 10, 15, 20 years.
Especially if you order the clubs from them, it gets rolled right into the price. I mean, it's basically almost a free fitting if you buy through them.
Exactly. Unless you go to these ones that are I don't want to say their name, but if you go to the ones that are in the shopping malls, maybe it's a little bit different. You have to set up and pay for the appointment there because that's all they do. But if you find these performance studios, go get fitted. Go get fitted. Figure out what works. Go from there. Don't be scared of different brands. If I was buying clubs tomorrow, I would actually buy probably a direct-to-sewer brand called Tacomo. Or I would buy Sub-70, which is another direct-to-consumer brand. They actually have guys on tour now playing these clubs.
I have seen some of their advertisement out now.
They're half the price of what, if not even less, for a set of irons. I don't know if I would go the woods or the drivers and all that stuff yet. I kind of do think you know, sometimes you get what you pay for.
Are one of those the irons that like they legit, they don't have like 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. They just have legit the loft on every single club.
I think sub 70 is just the loft on it.
Gotcha.
Could be.
I was about to say, I did see one like advertisement where I was like, oh, that's different. Like everything was like, you know, 44, 38, 30.
Yeah, there's three brands that are supposed to be really good. I don't remember. I can't ever remember the third one. So maybe that's it. But I know sub 70 and Tacoma, I mean, they have guys playing on tour with these now. And obviously they get paid to play. I understand that. But they're also going to play equipment that works. They're not just going to play crazy things. So there's stuff out there. And I mean, you could buy those and take them to your local fitter. And he would make sure that they fit you and different things. But go get fitted. If you can't afford what he's trying to pay, do what I did for 15 years. Take your specs, go on eBay, and find the guy that's trying to get rid of something to upgrade to that. Those new clubs all
it's
the time.
It's a long search line right there.
It's true. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, people are getting rid of stuff all the time. I mean, I for a long time, I had irons. I could have sold you. They're pretty solid. So, but yeah, go get fitted. That would be my first thing. My second thing would go get ball fitted, which I technically never have done that. That's something I always want to do. Don't go online and just go through their question and answer.
You never fitted your balls?
Never. Not anywhere that I'm proud of anyway. So, but no, go get ball.
You mean the four questionnaire thing that Titleist puts isn't sufficient?
Well, the ones that always end up to the Pro V, don't they? That's all the answers back to the Pro V.
I actually always get fitted to like a tour response or something, and I'm like, nah, I'm still going with Pro VX one.
Really? Mine's always going back to Pro V, and I play Pro V1X. I have played left dash for a while. Some guy gave me a sleeve. I really like those, but I think when it comes down to it, I like the Pro V1X. But yeah, go get fitted. It's worth it. If you're going to invest the time in playing, now if you play once or twice a year, buy something off eBay that you know is just quality and figure it out from there.
And buy the 35-pack of nitros from Walmart.
Yeah. Yeah. Golf ball's not going to make a difference. Or just go to a course and find a ball.
That's true. I mean, or just, you know what? Here, this is a very illegal, you shouldn't do this, but right before your round, get there about a half hour early, buy an $8 small bucket of balls, dump them right into your bag, and there you go. I do have a friend that likes to do that.
Yeah, didn't he steal like 500 range balls
once? He did, but it was at a turkey shootout and at a club, and hole 10 happens to be right next to the driving range, so it's easy pickings.
I thought it was closer to his house in the middle of the night, but...
No, that was a different story. We actually, totally
different
story.
Multiple range stories. Okay. Yeah, go get fitted. It's worth it.
How about this? I'm going to go off the beaten path. Go-to snack on the course.
So right now, it was those protein cookies. What's that brand?
The Doctor
But I've actually kind of gotten away from those. I've read a little bit more about what's in them. They're not bad by any means for you. There's others. They're a little bit higher in calorie than I wanted. I like chomp as far as something that you buy off the shelf. And then obviously you can't beat a peanut butter banana sandwich homemade.
Gotcha. I like that too. I like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I haven't really incorporated the banana into it, but.
Peanut butter, banana, if you throw a little honey on there, you'll go out of your mind.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the 30s on one side. You'll be in the 30s.
We'll finish with a soft toss because I know you've already done this year. But three club challenge, what clubs are you picking?
Yeah, me and you, if we were paired up, we would have to do a little bit better with this because I'm pretty much picking the exact same clubs you are. So I was a hybrid 7-iron gap wedge because I could putt with the hybrid. But everybody in the tournament that I played with, it was more of a hybrid, like 8-iron putter.
They went with putter for one, really.
A lot of them went with putter, which was really weird to me. But when I only really ran in one putt outside 4 or 5 feet with the hybrid, it was kind of like I could see where that makes a big difference.
Gotcha.
It was a 3-man challenge. Granted, I was playing with the same people that were in Caddyshack and it was the two older ladies, two older people Miss, that played
Miss Havenkamp.
Yeah, I mean they were a lot of fun, but yeah, putter. So if we were playing in a team, I probably would switch it up. But if it was just me, I still think I would go hybrid 7-iron, either gap wedge or pitching wedge, depending on where we're playing. If I need a little bit warm there, so
gotcha. Now, were you allowed to like interchange? Like, could you hit Miss Havenkamp's putter if she was carrying it? No,
nope. They had to play your own.
Gotcha.
And I was playing with some of the original members, and they were very, very into their rules.
Oh, sticklers, huh?
Yeah. So they were sticklers on it.
Did they enjoy any adult beverages on the course?
No, I was the only one partaking it.
See, that kind of downs the mood a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. But
did you have to play 50s music on your speaker or no music whatsoever?
I didn't bring the speaker. Mm-hmm. I've been slacking on the speaker lately.
Come on now, set the vibe.
I did upgrade my rangefinder not too long ago.
From the free one that your dad gave you?
Yeah, I did. That was my birthday present. So I didn't get the driver. I got a new rangefinder. It's for the one for Pinned Golf.
Okay.
Highly rated, slow. It's awesome. I have carried two rangefinders for the last two times I played because I just wanted to make sure they were the same. And they actually have been pretty much spot on. So,
okay.
Because I am the guy that even though you shoot it, I might shoot it as well. No, too,
you're 100% the person that I can sit there and be like 142 and you'll walk up directly after me and shoot it and be like, oh, okay. Yeah. 142.
Yeah. You go by your Bible.
You can trust somebody with like watching your children, but you're not going to trust them for the 140 yard par three that you're playing on that time.
Yeah.
I think that's all I got for you. Cause I mean, really, yeah. Really we've answered a lot of questions, like just in the midst of talking and whatnot. But I'll finish with this one. And this is your one curveball.
Oh boy.
When's the next new set of irons coming?
It's the irons. No, I'm not doing it with irons.
Okay. How about this? What's the next change?
You always make comments that I go out and buy all these golf clubs. I really don't.
You
I just
do though. You always have backups or you always have something new in the bag or anything like that. Here's
the
question.
Next golf purchase?
What's the next new club that goes in the bag?
Yeah. Okay.
And I mean, I don't mean new, but I mean, what's the next change up in the bag?
Yeah, it would probably be either 3-wood or hybrid. And with hybrid, I would keep the same shaft. And I've been looking on eBay of just like upgrading the Titleist, the head of the Titleist to a newer one. And then I would switch the shafts and then sell mine back on eBay.
So if RP offers you the QI10 and is selling it because he's upgraded to the brand new thing because he gets new clubs every single year, you wouldn't be enticed.
I mean, what kind of deal? You would be too. I mean,
I would just do what I normally do. Loan him a pair of Oakleys that cost me $80. He will probably lose them on the course and feel bad and give me a new club for free. I mean, that's pretty much how I got my 3-wood. That's how I got the Scotty. That's how I get.
Yeah, that's what I say. That the putter you keep claiming is yours. I don't even think
it's
yours.
It is. It was an exchange for an $80 pair of Oakleys that he lost. I mean, I think that's a fair trade. I mean, at least he thought it was a fair trade at the time.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. But yeah, I'm not really in the. I'm not going to get irons. There's just minor nice. They're not going anywhere. You will have more newer irons before I will.
I don't know.
I did
see a set of your irons with both sets of 4 and 5 irons in the mix. So you got 2 4 irons, 2 5 irons, both in the 150 and 200s. And I won't lie, I did save it on Facebook Marketplace, but they were also like I think they were S300 shafts, and they were only 120 grams. So I saved it, but you know, I'm not enticed.
I don't know if you're S300 or or one?
No, I will go get fitted before I buy any. I will go get refitted before I go buy any new irons again.
I wouldn't mind. I mean, I'd be lying to you if I don't plan on upgrading wedges by the end of, by this time next year, I'll probably have new wedges.
Oh, okay. You got the black oxidized. You're not even going to let them get oxidized.
Yeah, I might not. I want S400 shafts in my wedges. I want something. I was talked to a guy. He talked a lot about them, and I went with what I did for what the reasons I think the S400 could offer me something a little bit better.
So, why don't you just reshaft your wedges?
I mean, I could. But
I mean, you already did that at Jen's Cup when you bent one.
I did. Different wedge, but yeah, I did. Yeah, I mean, I guess they could. I mean, people do carry the same shafts all the way through their wedges sometimes. Not a terrible idea, but yeah, it's not going to happen anytime soon. Fair enough.
I'll just take your hand me downs from now on, and then try and beat you with your old clubs.
I've been trying to give you my 3-wood or selling my 3-wood to you for years.
Yeah, I know, but I can build it for like $75 online.
And I said you could buy it for $50. So. Yeah, you just don't want the colored shaft.
No, I just don't want to. I don't want to be hitting a club and you just sit there and tell me you gave it to me for the entire time. Plus, I probably should go get fitted for my 3-wood from Larry, considering I still have a free fitting from him.
Yeah, I mean, he'll take care of everything you got. No, the wife wants new clubs, so I might be buying clubs, but they wouldn't be for me.
Does she want a set of Nike steelhead irons?
No. Hers are too heavy. That's what her issue is.
Well, I'll hold on to the Nike ones and maybe birthday gift for T-Man when he's like 14, because he's probably going to be taller than me in the next year or so. He'll probably be able to play those anyways.
Do they have antique license plates on them? Because those things are old. They got to be old now.
I don't know. They're like 2000. I bought them when I was in this house. So they're only 10 years old now. So they're less than 10 years old now, because I bought them when I was living in this house.
Okay. I did always want Tiger Woods Nike blades. That was one thing I always wanted.
Saw those on Facebook Marketplace the other day.
Yeah, but now they're like probably $3,000.
They're pretty expensive, yeah.
No, I mean...
TW stamped on them. They're so clean. Yeah. They're so clean.
I'm not making any... I'm pretty happy with what I got. I got to get better.
I mean, I would. You got to get better. You're shooting like on average 74, 75. It's pretty darn good.
I only have one round. Well, technically two rounds if you count my Florida round under 75 this year. You're right there. I get it, but I really only have like, I would say maybe three. Now that I think about it, I have 274s and then that 70 on a par 69.
Maybe you just need to go get your balls fitted.
Oh man, that always will make me laugh. Yeah. After hours. Now,
exactly.
But no, I appreciate everybody listening. Leave some comments to us. Tell us, do you like what we're doing? Do we not like what we're doing as far as our setup and on our golf bags? But yeah, we are definitely looking forward to it. Check out our social media because we are going to be announcing major number 5, which will be happening next week.
Still happening. Even though that doesn't mean anything, we're still running it.
It's all about pride now.
It is.
It's all about pride.
And I do have a lot of that.
I mean, it's kind of like the President's Cup. I mean, I have only, you know, they've been winning the last 10. That's what we're going to look at. They're playing for pride this year. You're trying to make it turn around. As an international team, you know, part of your team, my team, we're trying to make it to turn around.
4-2 looks much better on the scoreboard than 4-0.
It does. And with the lack of we're playing right now, that ball could be going all over the golf course.
Speak for yourself. I'm going to be playing twice this weekend.
Yeah. I will not be.
I'm playing.
I thought I had Saturday off and we popped in some volleyball games.
I'm playing Bayside on Saturday morning, which is a Nicholas course. It's Nicholas course up in Fenwick Island. And then I hit up our boy Valdez for interesting golf courses in the Ocean City, Dewey, Fenwick Island area. And I am booking either a Eagles landing round or a rum run round. I'm enticed by rum run.
I feel like I've heard of the Eagles landing.
Yes, Eagles landing looks pretty dope. I will say I looked at it and it looks pretty great. Only issue is that like you either have like a 6 a.m. tee time and we're getting in late on Thursday night, Friday morning, or it's like noon. But you know what? If it continues to have, yeah, exactly. I'm gonna make one work.
Hey, you were. So, all right, check us out. We'll be having an announcement about Major Number 5, where we're playing, when we're playing. Should be next Thursday. We don't know what times yet. We will get that all booked. Hopefully we can get some stuff up on our accounts for everybody. But it's good talking to you. Fight hard. See you at the ninth grade at 9.